We are looking at Surah Saba, which is in the 22nd juz of the Noble Quran, verse number 34. In this surah, Allah Rabbul Izzah continues to speak about the people of Saba, who we elaborated that these were a people who Allah had blessed. They lived in Yemen. Allah had granted them dams, lots of water to irrigate their lands. And also when they traveled, they had regular stops on their journey, so they were able to break their journey up. There was lots of gardens and various types of amenities that were made available for them. Allah had blessed their journey from Saba, the nation in Yemen, where they traveled from, all the way to Sham, wherever they were going. There was lots of blessings that they enjoyed, and they were able to continue, you know, immersing themselves in these blessings. But instead of that, how did they respond to this? Allah Rabbul Izzah says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ الْقُرَى الَّتِي بَارَقْنَا فِيهَا. And we made, Allah Rabbul Izzah talking about them, that we had placed between them and those villages that we had blessed. Allah refers to certain towns as the place that we had blessed, and that refers to Sham, to which the people of Saba used to travel. Others say the town that they blessed referred to large cities of the people of Saba. Well, بَارَكْنَا فِيَا قُرًا ظَاهِرَةً. We made such villages that were visible on the road. وَقَدَّرْنَا فِيَا السَّيْرِ. And we fixed easy stages therein. So these towns were all situated on the roadside, and the people of Saba could easily enter them without disrupting or prolonging the journey. You know, when a main road goes through a town, I think it's a death to a town when it cuts out the town. When they're building a new highway and they say, you know what, this particular town is going to be left out. And then after that you come back a few years later and you see that how that has affected the business of the town. And other times it goes through the town and the town starts to boom. The town has an upsurge as a result of this. Allah made it such that the towns were on their route, so it would be easy for them to travel. That was the bounty of Allah. They could travel each easily. Each town could be seen from the previous town, and because of which their journey was never monotonous. They could stay over at any town. They leave one town breakfast time, by lunch time, by the next town, by midday, afternoon, the next town, and so on and so forth. Allah had made several stages. Allah divided their journey that they could pass through these towns, and by this way, they didn't need to carry any food with them. No part costs needed. They could just stop anywhere. All these people, there was no enemies to fear. They could go with ease. وَقَدَّرْنَا فِيهَا سَيْرَ. Allah Rabbul Izzah said, سِيرُوا فِيهَا لَيَالِيَ وَأَيَّامًا آمِنِينَ. They were told, travel peacefully by them, these stages, by night or day. They had nothing to fear on their journey by day or by night. It was an easy journey. And that is what we all want, you know, easy journeys. It is said that they were able to go for their trade in the business. Yemen is close to the Indian shores on one side, close to the African shores on the other side. Gold and valuable stones, spices, perfume, ivory, etc. used to come from India and Africa to Yemen. The Saba used to load these goods onto the camels and travel along the coast of the Red Sea, passing through Hijaz and transporting these goods to Syria and even to Egypt. As the Quran says, we made a clear path for them. And their journey, the winter journey, the summer journey, which Allah had granted the Quraysh, they were able to do all of this. It is said that the Greek historian Aristothetanel writes that the journey from Hadar al-Maut to the king of Saba lasted 40 days, where it took the traders 70 days to travel from Ma'un to Aqaba. So this was an easy journey. Everything was just smooth. But how was their response? They were given it on a plate, and you know what happens? When you give people things on a plate, they don't appreciate it. You give everything to your children, and you say, you know, this child of mine, I've given him everything. And that is when they don't appreciate. You can't give everything. If you give everything, then they don't value anything. It cannot be that anything and everything that your children want, you give it to them, because that is a recipe for disaster. You have to leave them working towards desiring something bigger, having that as a goal for an achievement that they attain. So how audacious, how negligent, how ungrateful these people had the audacity to say, Rabbana ba'id bayna asfarina, oh Allah, oh our sustainer, make the stages between our journey longer. That we're not enjoying this type of journey, that the stages be longer. Let us encounter, they said, ba'id bayna asfarina, Allah Rabbul Azza says, wa zalamu anfusahum, they wrong themselves, faja'alnam ahadith, we made them a tale. وَمَزَّقْنَامْ كُلَّ بُمَزَّقْ, and we tore them into pieces. So they wanted to encounter different things on their journey, places of inhabitants in between. They wanted, let hunger and thirst vex us, then we will enjoy the journey. They wanted to encounter places where there's no inhabitants, and they were ungrateful. They were similar to the Banu Israel, who became weary of manna and salwa. What is this manna and salwa? We want basal, we want onions and lentils and this and that and that. And when you are ungrateful to Allah, that is the end. Allah Rabbul Izzah then speaks about them. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, we tore them apart, we disorganized them completely, tore them into pieces. Most of their families were broken up. Some went in one direction, others went in another direction. All vestiges of places of inhabitants were completely wiped out. Not only stories and tales about them remain, stories and tales which people heard and learnt a lot lessons from. And their great civilization and power and authority was reduced to dust. The author of Ardul Quran has explained that the fall and destruction of these people came when the Greeks and the Romans gained control of Egypt and Syria, and they changed the trade routes to India and Africa from the land journeys to the sea journeys, and all their goods were carried by ships and offloaded on the coastal region of Egypt and Syria along the Red Sea, and this completely wiped out the trade route between Yemen and Syria, and all the towns of Saba were destroyed. A lesson that we learn from this is that when Allah blesses the people with prosperity and wealth, we should engage in excessive gratitude. You may be wealthy today. There is an example in the Quran of people who are wealthy, but it got all taken away. Within moments, all taken away. So there's no guarantee about what you have. That if you have things today, there's so many people in good days, they spend so much, they live a high life, they don't make investments, they don't spare, they don't save. People earning 400,000 and 500,000 rand a month, and suddenly, after a while, you find that the person is worthy of taking zakat. I know personally of several cases like that. Because people do not have financial planning, all they can think of is living it up for the moment. So the income is rolling in and the spending on a high bracket, overseas holidays, the best of cars all through the bank, buy a house on the bank, holiday home through the bank, jet skis, the most expensive bicycles and motorbikes, and all of that. Clothing, shoes of 5,000 and 10,000 rand, and it all comes crashing down. And then you ask where. So therefore, moderate life, always, no matter how much Allah has given you, live a moderate life. Keep it simple, keep it basic. We're not saying don't spend, but we're saying moderate. Live within your means, save at least 10% to 20% of your monthly earnings, and keep it for a rainy day. In that way, you will be on the safer and secure side. So these people, Allah Rabbul Izzah reminds us and says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. With regards to these people, there are signs for everyone who is ever patient and fully grateful. Meaning, there is a great sign and a lesson in the rise and the fall and the radical change that hit the life cycle of these people of Sabah. Who will learn the lessons? The person who is enduring and grateful. This is when there are times of difficulty, pain. One observes patience over it. This is the lifestyle in which one always overcome, comes out the winner. When there's good things and blessings, then you are grateful. When it's difficult times, you are patient. عجب لأمر المؤمن, certainly unique is the state of affairs of a mu'min. إن أمره كله له خير. No matter what Allah decrees for him, it turns for him into nothing but good and profitable. إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له. If he is blessed in one way or the other, he has a desire in his heart, is fulfilled, he thanks Allah. And إن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له. At times of adversity, he remains patient, and that is good for him. So some of the commentators have taken that sabbar is a very patient person. In general, sense of sabr or patience, which includes remaining firm in all acts required, obedience and abstaining from sin. In the light of this tafsir, a true believer remains comprehensively attuned to sabr and shukr under all circumstances, for that matter. Every sabr is shukr, and every shukr is sabr. Subhanallah. Every sabr is shukr, and every shukr is sabr. And if we can keep that in mind, then certainly we are on the right path.